Coucou Hannah. Can you guys hear me? Hannah. Hannah, can you hear me? Coucou Zouina. أهلاً. شكون اللي فيه الناس؟ اوكي بيرفكت ميرسي هنا ثانك يو سو توداي وي ار توكين وذ سم ون فروم ايطالي اه اي اولويز فورجيت تو بين ذا كومنت جيف مي ا سيك كي دايرين ماشي صيام شكون اللي صايم There you go. I'm done. So I was saying that today we're talking to Dr. Giulia Corradetti from Italy, continuing our series where we have someone from a different country every time to talk about their medical school system and specifically about ophthalmology residency. I don't know about you guys, but I'm always curious to see how people spend their training time and especially the amount of surgery they do and if they get involved in any type of research during their residency or not. We also discuss the favorite resources and training opportunities. We got so many great pearls from the last 10 invitees. Here's one. Dr. Lawrence from Switzerland told us a lot about training opportunities in Europe for those who are looking for surgery-focused trainings. I think the most interesting one, to me honestly, was the Winter Academy, which is a one-week program where people go and they have classes from 8 until 6, as he described it, and it's all theory then practice. Also a lot of fun in the evenings, as he said. So that was great to learn about. And the Alcon Experience Academy in Barcelona, I heard a lot about that one too before, but he also confirmed that it was a nice experience. I am good, Quran class official. Alhamdulillah. How are you? You guys, who is fasting? I am dying for coffee here. Hello. Hello, Umayma. We also had a very special live with Umayma, who is a yoga instructor, on Sunday, where we talked about, well, we actually did a guided meditation with her, which felt really nice. And then we talked about yoga and tips for beginners and the whole concept of taking care of the body and the body being the temple that we should take good care of. It was a really different kind of life, but very nice. I had so many great feedbacks about it. So yeah, basically this is episode 11 of this little Instagram live series we're making here, where every time we get a resident or a young ophthalmologist from a different country and talk about how their training is. Who is here in ophthalmology? Let me know in the comments. Also, if you're a med student who is interested in ophthalmology, let me know. Sometimes I get the best questions from the med students. I love just how they are so thirsty to know certain things that we, at our stage, we just think that, you know, they're not that interesting. So I love the suggestions. Hello. Hi, Mahmoud. Oh, optometrist, hello. So happy to see you guys here. Well, it's all the eye business. It would be cool to also talk to optometrists, right? I mean, there are a lot of differences between countries as well when it comes to optometry. I know that at least, oh, here's one of my favorites. Claudia, hello. I think it would be nice to see what optometrists and orthoptists do in each country, because there are a lot of differences. I was a little bit confused when I did my training in Germany, because the roles and duties were very much different between Morocco and Germany. Hello, Claudia. Hi, dear. I think this is the first time I see you here. Hello, Anas. We are doing a pre-iftar live for once. And you can see how desperately I need coffee. I don't know about you guys, but we're fasting here and we still have 3 hours to break the fast. So that was the only time that worked for Dr. Julia. Hi, Dr. Kailani. How are you? Great. I see people from ophthalmology, optometrists. It's very nice. You guys, if you have suggestions for questions or things you want to learn, let me know. Hello, Hiba. You are a first year what? First year residency or first year med school? Let me know. I feel like the crowd from this time of the day is very different than from after when we have iftar. Hello, it's okay now. Oh, first year med school, great. What kind of advice do you need? I think at your stage, it's more about studying and staying motivated, keeping track with your classes, right? I would say the number one advice is organize your time. Honestly, I was always the worst at that, and I learned it the hard way. So always organize your time. Honestly, just write down everything you want to do in the next day. And you'll be doing it, because crossing something off the list always works. This is the tired crowd from fasting. Another 4 hours to go. Yeah, it's 3 hours for us here. And Dr. Julia is here. So let's get her on the live. I am so curious to know her in Italy. I don't know about you guys, but all of this came out of my curiosity. So this is usually the little chit-chats that I have with people in DMs that we are having here on Instagram Lives, basically. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Hi, Julia. Great. How are you?
Good. So nice to see you, finally.
So nice to see you too. I am so excited about our discussion and learning about Italy and about you. Can you hear me? I feel like there is a problem with the coverage. Can you hear me now? Is it all good? You're breaking up.
Yeah, I do now. It's kind of break.
Yeah? Oh.
I see it. Now I hear you.
How about now? Perfect. I can hear you too. I can hear you, but I cannot see
Don't
you.
really.
It's okay, those things happen all the time. Do you guys see us? Do you guys see both of us or not? Oh yeah? How about now? Is it any better?
I think it is. It looks better.
Perfect.
Okay.
Yes, I can see you now I'm here. It's so great to see you here. Awesome. So as I was saying, this is a little chat where we're gonna get to know you and where we're gonna get to learn about medical school and ophthalmology in Italy. I hope this will work with our network. So would you like to start by introducing yourself, Julia?
I'm a doctor from Italy and I'm an ophthalmologist from Italy, and right now I'm based in LA for my fellowship. So I'm doing my fellowship in retina at the Eye Institute, and we'll see what's next. So
Exciting. This is all very exciting.
I'm very excited for whatever I'm doing because, coming to US, it meant a lot for me because I had the opportunity to get to learn like a completely different word, like either like medicine word and or like, just cultural, just the culture, a different culture, a different people, a different way to think. So it made me grow a lot, like it made me mature a lot, because whenever like you jump out of your box or your daily routine, there is always so much to learn. So I was so happy that you were having this series, like talking to doctors from all over the world, because the cool part of medicine is that it's pretty much the same all over the world, but the culture is completely different, and it's so cool that like we are coming from completely different background, but we at the end of the day we have the same goals. So yeah, you
Exactly.
inspired me so much, and that
Oh,
was cool.
thank you. I'm glad you like it. It's honestly just, I'm always very curious to know. As you said, we all have the same goal, but the paths are so very much different and so rich. And every story is it's inspiring in its own. And so, like people like you did your training in Italy, and now you're doing your fellowship in the US. It must be so enriching both on a personal and a professional level, and I cannot wait to learn more. So what I do usually is I go all the way back to med school and then we build up from there until where you are right now. So could you tell us how people access medical school in Italy?
So, you were breaking for a second.
No worries. I was just saying that usually what we do is that we start talking about access to medical school after high school, and then we build up from there until we get to where you are right now. So he just was asking, how is access to medical school in Italy?
So at the time
Information.
I applied for at the time I applied for med school, it was slightly different because you were supposed to pick a school. So basically you were supposed just to say, I don't know, I want to get into this specific med school, and you just apply and show up that day to take a test, and a certain number of people were accepted in the school. It's slightly different compared like to US. It's not based on CV or anything, it's just based on a test. Which can be challenging sometimes because you're coming straight from high school
high
and
school.
You really don't know anything
it's
about.
It's the same here.
Oh, okay. It's very similar. I think the culture, like our culture, is very similar in many things, in many aspects.
Mediterranean.
So, yeah. Like the positive thing is now there is a national test, so you don't have actually to pick a school. You just take the test and you will see, like, in relation where you place yourself, you can choose a school in relation to the, you know, availability at that moment.
Okay, so it's probably based on some ranking?
Yeah, it's like a ranking, but based on the test that you take. It's a national test, so everybody is taking the test in a specific day. Mm-hmm. And in relation to the how you rank among, you know, all the other Italian students, you will get a spot. There is a separate ranking system for internationals. Mm-hmm. So if anybody is interested to apply to med school in Italy, it is possible. It's a different ranking system, of course, because, you know, Italian is not their first language. And I remember when I was in med school, there were so many internationals in my school, in my med school. And that was like a positive thing because we were able to, you know, to cooperate, to learn from each other. And again, like, we had all like different backgrounds, and that was very cool.
Yeah.
Another thing is, in some schools in Italy, for example, in some of the med schools, you can apply for this in kind of international med school program that doesn't follow the Italian system, but it follows the American system. So everything is like in English, and the duration of med school is also different. Like it's basically like doing med school here, and you're supposed to take the steps and everything, while for the Italian system, we are not like required to take the USMLE step. So of course.
Okay, and is that available at all medical school, or is it only at certain?
No, just like it's just starting, and I mean it started like actually a few years ago. It is available only in some elective medical schools, mm-hmm. but for whoever is thinking to go abroad. I think it's a good opportunity.
All right. So it's based on what people want to do following medical school, probably. And would that be a completely different system, or are those people studying at the same medical school as the other ones who are following the regular med school?
Well, it's the same medical school, but the program, the curriculum is completely different because it is based on the U.S. program, which is slightly different from the Italian program. And the length of the course is different as well, because in Italy, we have 6 years of medical school, and the first 3 years, they're like more similar to the college, the bachelor in science, let's say.
Okay,
the first
that's basic science.
They are like theoretical, like, you know, like pre-med. And then we have 3 years with all the rotations. So if you do the international pathway, basically it's like 4 years, and you do, I guess, the pre-med, like a little bit condensed, and then the following 2 years and everything. And the other thing is everything is in English. So the school is the same, but the teachers sometimes can change. And you're required to study in English. In the regular med school, it's like in Italian, like, you know.
Well, I think it's great to have that option in your country. It's very good.
Absolutely.
What would you say?
It wasn't active when I was in school, so it wasn't
relatively new
for me. No, like I always wanted to go abroad, always. but then I got in med school and I liked it so much, so I just stayed in Italy. But I think I would have liked that option a lot.
Yeah, well, it's really great to have it. So you talked about having international students. What would you say is the most nationality of internationals that you would see in an Italian med school?
We would see a lot people from Greece and Turkey, East Europe. Yeah.
Okay. So you said Turkey and Greece, right?
Yeah, Greece and just moving that. I want to turn back on. Sorry.
No problem.
Oh wait. Just a second.
Oops. I think that was by mistake. Let's get her back here. That's so cool how they can study the English system in Italy. The American system. I didn't know that. That's really interesting. Also, another thing I noticed that a lot of European med schools have 6 years, whereas in Morocco, we have 7 years. I believe also in Algeria, it's only 6 years.
I'm back.
Hello. Sorry. I knew that.
My phone was dying. I forgot. Sorry. So I'm back.
So you said you see a lot of Turkish and Greek people, right? Amongst the internationals.
Yeah, pretty much those. We have a program actually in Europe in general that you can attend 1 year of med school abroad. So,
is that the Erasmus?
1 year. What?
Is that the Erasmus? Erasmus?
Yeah, correct.
We had some European people before you.
Yeah. And that is pretty cool because you can just go abroad for a year to Spain, France, Switzerland, those places.
It's always an immersion experience, right? It's always great to have an international experience within med school, especially that those are really long studies. And is med school paid in Italy or is it for free?
No, it's for free.
Oh, great.
I mean, like you pay, you pay taxes, but it's just, not as much as in US.
Yeah.
There are some private med schools that you have to pay for, but it's not as much.
Okay.
As in US.
It's the same for Morocco.
The US is 8 years. I know it's 8 years, but,
Yeah, exactly.
And
it's also very expensive, right?
Yeah.
I think we're very lucky to have almost free med school in our countries. In Morocco as well.
Yeah, it's almost free.
Yeah. And it's 7 years. Good. So when you guys finish the 6 years, do you have to present a thesis or take an exam? Or how do you actually graduate to become a medical doctor?
So first of all, you have to finish all the exams in the school. Like we have, like when I was in med school, I had like 32 so exams. Mm-hmm. But they're not like multiple choices exams. They're like sometimes kind of challenging. They're like oral exams. Mm-hmm. And written exams at the beginning, and then if you pass the written test, you take the oral test. But the oral test is challenging because you don't have a program usually. And
so it could be any.
You have a broad program that, it's like you don't know. And especially when I was in med school, I had most of my teachers, like very old teachers. So they were like old school. And they would ask like impossible things. Like that it was very hard you to know those things. Like based on experience or like history of medicine that sometimes it's like, oh, I studied so much. I didn't study that. And you had to go through like many at one exam, you had to go through multiple teachers and
To pass.
Pass.
But do you guys have the oral exams every year in med school or only towards the end?
No, it's for each exam. For each exam, you have one oral exam.
Wow. And
yeah. So for each oral exam, you have to go through multiple teachers. But the other thing is they give you a grade. And you usually want to have a high grade because the grade that you will be obtaining at the end of med school, it is important to get into residency.
Okay.
So you want to have the grades were going from 18 to 30.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes if you were doing very good, you can get a lauded. But you want to stay like over 28. So in Italy, you had the possibility to say, no, I don't like the grade. I want to come back.
And oh, yeah. I mean, if you're aiming for a higher score, for a better or more competitive residency, you can go and take the exam again. Okay.
But at your own risk, because usually teachers don't like that. You know, it's like... you know, it changes person by person, and it's based on your experience. If you want to risk it, you can go back, but it's not sure that you will get a higher grade because it's not like they're gonna ask you questions that they talked during class. No, it's like our classes. We used to have classes every day for a semester, and then for 6 months, and then after those 6 months we would be able to take those exams, but like the hours of frontal lectures were like smaller compared to the, you know, amount of program that they were supposed to cover, so most of the things were not discussed in class.
And you had to study them on your own, and so that makes it really tough when you have to cover.
And on books, like, you know. In my med school, we didn't, I mean, personally, me and my closest friends, we studied everything from books.
Yeah.
And that was very challenging because, you know, when you study from a book, you don't know what's most important. So it takes more time to develop a critical way to think.
Definitely.
You know,
I went through the same experience in certain years through medical school where I really did not feel like I learned a lot from the classes, and we had the option to not attend. So for certain classes, I would not attend but study on my own, which I have always found very challenging and difficult. So I totally feel you on that one. But there is a thing about Moroccan medical school is that when we graduate after the 7 years, we have to make a thesis.
Yeah, we do too.
You guys do that as well?
Yeah. So
after... what's important is the grades of the exams plus the thesis to obtain the medical doctor degree, right?
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
So you just present the thesis the day that you're graduating. And in relation to your thesis, your presentation that day, and the grades you got during the 6 years, they will give you a final grade. That is
right.
The one that is important for like residency.
Nice. And then you celebrate, and then you're a doctor. It's a big party. And
yeah, and then you have, for the license, you have to take another exam, but it's kind of easy, like... I mean, easy. Like, it's just one multiple choices exam that you take in one single day. So, and you got the license at that point, you can practice.
All right. So, you can practice after 6 years plus the license as a general practitioner, right? Okay. That's one thing we also have in common. Because in certain countries, family medicine is a residency itself, right?
Yeah. Now there is a residency for family medicine, it's like 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of separate from the general match for the other like residencies, but you still have to get into the program, you know. The other thing is, you can still, I mean, you can still work as doctor, for example, in emergency.
Okay. Can you like open your own practice with the medical degree?
Well, this, yes or not, you know, you can practice medicine theoretically, but in order to open a practice, you should have a, like, you know, a residency degree. But if you have your medical degree, you are still a doctor, so you are on risk, of course.
So it's better to do it. The thing here is that general practitioners can actually open their practice and practice medicine with the MD degree alone. Residency comes afterwards for people who choose to specialize in something. So you said that the grades at the end of med school are really important for access to residency. So is that the only thing that matters, or is there another step towards residency, like an exam or an interview?
Yeah, there is an exam as well. As it's similar to the exam for like med school.
Okay. Is it also a national exam?
Yeah, now it is national. Like a few years ago was, until a few years ago, maybe 6-7 years ago, was like non-national. So you had to pick like a school and apply for that. So it was a little bit more challenging.
Yeah.
Now it's national and it's for all residencies actually. So basically when you apply, you choose, you basically rank all the schools and all the specialties you would like to get into. And then automatically, like it's like software based, they will rank you in this big ranking system.
I'll let you know where you can go.
It's pretty complex, but in relation to your scores and your choices, they will match you. It's like a matching system, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But
is it the same exam for both surgical and medical specialties?
Yeah, it is the same for, well, actually it's slightly different. If you apply to a med versus a surgical specialties, you have certain quizzes are different, certain questions are slightly different, but you can apply at the same time to med and surgical. Like for example,
and if you do that, do you have to take two different exams or just one?
No, it's the same day. It's national, the same day. The city where you are gonna take the test is gonna be the city where your residence is in. So even if you go to school in one city, but your official residence is in a different city, you have to go back there.
All right.
For space, I think.
So did you have to move from medical school to residency? Or did you stay in the same place?
I actually had to move, like, I did my med school in Bologna. I don't know if you're familiar.
I have. I have a friend who lives in Bologna.
Oh, yeah.
His name is Salvatore.
That's Italian.
Yes, it is. He's Italian.
Yeah, so, I love my med school and I love my experience there because it wasn't a private med school. So, my classroom, like my classmates were so many, it was very challenging. So I liked that part a lot because I think that at the end of the med school, I got a chance to mature so much more compared, like, you know, if you go to a small med school where everything is maybe easier.
Yeah.
I did my residency in Milan. So
bad.
I was lucky. And I got in a very nice ophthalmology residency program.
In a city and that is on the bucket list of almost everyone.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's really awesome.
Yeah, so I was lucky for many things because I was in a beautiful city and Milan is kind of that city where everything is happening. So it's very nice, full of stimulus. My residency program was very, very nice, and basically was it was structured in a slightly different way from many other programs.
Okay.
Because we had rotations, but each rotation was basically you would rotate into a subspecialty department, I would say. So, and we had the possibility in one single like program to mm-hmm. see every single aspect of ophthalmology.
And how long is the ophthalmology residency in?
I did 5 years.
Is it different from a place to the other?
No, it was 5 years. Now it is 4 years. Five years okay. is kind of a long time.
Yeah, that's what we do here.
So, oh, okay.
I know. I'm talking about.
I didn't know that. It was very long, and 4 years. Yeah. I think it's good. It's good enough.
Yeah. How competitive would you say is ophthalmology amongst the other residencies in Italy?
Like how much is requested?
No, I mean like how, like is it highly competitive? Like,
yeah, it is highly competitive. Mm. I would say so. I think not as much as here, as the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you get in ophthalmology, you know, like you basically economically talking, you can make maybe good amount of money, but there is not such a big difference among other, you know, residences.
Well, in Italy,
many people wants to do, like, you know, internal medicine, like cardiology. It was the most popular probably when I was in med school.
Okay.
Because you feel like real doctor. And I don't blame
That's
them.
Your house, right?
Yeah. So ophthalmology is like challenging because if you want to do ophthalmology, the people who want to become an eye doctor, they are very competitive.
Oh, yeah.
It's like dermatology. It's like, I want to do just that because it's kind of different from everything else. So yeah, it's like you want to do it. You know what I mean? I really want to do it, and I really want to find a way to like to get there. So,
yeah. So, good for you that you got it then, and for the rest of us who are in ophthalmology as well. I truly believe it is the best specialty of all, and I can debate over that for hours and hours. And so, you guys have 5 years of residency, and as you said, you were lucky to have a residency in which you went through different rotations. Is it mandatory in all residency programs everywhere? Or is it only because you got lucky to be in such a great program and a diverse program?
Well, each hospital is slightly different. Uh-huh. So in my hospital, it was like the ophthalmology department was pretty large. So they had even like a subspecialty that maybe other hospitals don't have at that level. And also the particular thing is in Italy it's very common that if you are an eye doctor and you work in a hospital, you do as attending, you rotate. So basically one day you do cataract, one day you do glaucoma, you know.
Okay, as attending.
So you're not that hospital was more similar to US where like specialists and attendings doing retina, they were doing retina, only retina. Mm-hmm. So
everybody would specialize in their
subspecialty. Correct. And that was very cool because you got the most from them since it was their main expertise. And also was cool because that way you were able to, they would like receive like hard cases, like second opinion. So challenging cases that maybe in a you wouldn't see it elsewhere, but it was very good like learning experience
for that's me. Great. And how were you guys evaluated? Did you guys have exams at each rotation or at the end of the year? How did it work?
At the end of the year, every year we had an exam. Just it was an oral exam.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only exam we had, and at the end of the residency, we had like a thesis as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
With another exam or no exam at the end?
Well, you have an exam each year, so even after the fifth year, we had an exam, and after that, we had the discussion of a thesis.
Mm-hmm.
But during the thesis, you just present like your, you know, research project you have been working on. and that's it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you a fun fact that we learned from Dr. Ayla from Bosnia and Herzegovina. She told us that at the end of residency, the residents can have in certain places a surgical exam where they go and they would have a surgical procedure like such as cataract or strabismus or something. And then they are evaluated upon that that surgery. Plus, of course, the written and oral exam. You guys have something like that? Yeah. It was the first time
surgical
here, but
practice
like
during, I don't know if you heard from anyone else from Italy, but surgical practice during residency in Italy, mm-hmm. it's kind of a taboo. Like, it's hard to get.
You guys are not alone.
Oh, okay.
We just had Lawrence from Switzerland. They have almost zero.
Exposure to the case. And it's very sad. I think over time it is improving, mm-hmm. but still we don't get as much surgical practice as others. Yeah.
But you guys at least go to the OR to attend surgeries or just...
Yeah, we go there, but, you know, the learning curve is very slow.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like if you do a rotation, 4 months rotation, and you go in the OR like once a week, like by the time you watch, it's the end of the rotation.
Exactly. Yeah. So,
I don't know.
Plus, you don't get to practice anything. That gets a little bit frustrating, especially that when you go into ophthalmology, I believe for most people, they go mostly for the surgical part. And yeah. It is really frustrating in a lot of places. I think it's nice when we learned from, we had Dr. Reza from the US who told us that they had a minimum required number of cataract surgeries, 80 something. I think that's great. People have to perform a certain number of surgeries before they finish. So like their attendants have to teach them, etc. Whereas in places such as where you are, where I am too, it's completely dependent on where you are, the people that you are with. Some people could do tons of surgeries. Some people could do none, zero. So I don't know. I feel like the surgical teaching and learning needs to be more organized and like it needs to have some kind of curriculum or I like the idea of logbooks in certain countries where residents have a certain number of every single procedure that they have to log by the end of their residency. Did you guys have something like that? Maybe for the clinical part, if you didn't do any surgeries?
Well, not really. I mean, you could do surgery, but the thing is, you were supposed to like choose surgery as your main like interest. So you should have gone to the OR like, you know, like more than once a week, and you should like just show a very great interest into doing surgery. And also, you had to pick like, you know, a field, either like retina, glaucoma, or like cataract surgery, but the learning curve was very slow. So, you know,
what would the average number of cataract surgeries a resident would have done by the end of the 5 years?
It depends. If you go into cataract, like if you decide I want to be a cataract surgeon, and after your clinical rotation, you always go every day there, probably you get a good amount of cataract surgery, but if you only do your rotation, it's like fair. The number, if there is a number, it's going to be fair. But, you know, that's the way it is. So even if I didn't do much surgery, I love
what Atanas just said. We need ophthalmology surgical training 2.0 all over the world.
Yeah.
Atanas is a friend of mine from Bulgaria, and I think the most thing that we are passionate about and that we have in common is surgical training.
Yeah.
And we meet or talk, we talk about this, we're very passionate about it. And so talking to a lot of people from different countries, we're just realizing how it's not just in our countries. I always thought it was only Morocco, he always thought it was only Bulgaria, but it looks like it is everywhere. Another fun question that I always ask, are you guys paid as residents in ophthalmology or not?
Yeah, we actually were paid and not very much. It means just, if it's not possible to sustain a normal life with whatever they give to you
Yeah.
as salary. But Italy is kind of different because I was talking to my friend from Germany and he's like,
Fadi is from Germany.
oh, okay, hi. And he was telling me, he was like shocked how much we were paid in Italy. It's like you cannot even like rent a house or something.
Can you give us a number? Because we like numbers.
Yeah, sure. If I remember correctly, was like to not more than 25,000 a year when I was in residency.
Which is per month?
Which is
I'm fasting. I can't do
per
my math.
month is like two thousand something.
Honey, that's great. We are paid 300 to 800 here, euros.
But I actually don't remember exactly. It was something more like less than 2,000 per month. So I think that mostly was going into taxes. So
Oh,
let's
yeah,
say
after.
1,800 or something. But the downside of this, because a few years before I got into residency, residents were not paid.
Oh,
So
so this is an
all my
upgrade, actually.
attendings, yeah, so all my attendings were not paid during residency. And like, there is always a downside that
Yeah.
is, oh, you are also paid. You should do everything. You should do this. But yeah.
Only because the ones before you were not, so you were supposed to be doing more. Well,
Yeah, like not like rarely I heard like someone saying, "Hey guys, you are also paid, and I'm teaching you, all those things." And I'm super grateful for whatever I learned in, during residency. So I was happy with that. But if I like, now I'm here in US, and they get to learn so much more, and probably they get paid so much more too. So it's kind of like, I accepted so much during residency while like it was normal.
yeah, exactly. I mean, when it's the same thing for everyone around you, you cannot complain, right? Especially when there are many people that came before you and were paid the same thing. Even worse in your case, when people were not paid anything at all.
Oh
So you
yeah,
can't really be
absolutely. But
complaining.
yeah, I'm grateful because it's hard to get into, to residency, and it's just so challenging. And having a residency, it's so great, and
Exactly. I mean, you know,
so
even
happy.
talking about such things, it's always been a taboo for me, even with my colleagues. We're like, oh no, we're doctors. We shouldn't be talking about being paid and salaries and this and that. But we cut through this taboo a little bit and we're just talking about it now, just out of curiosity to know. And we're just
Yeah.
like, our friend Lawrence from Switzerland told us that residents are paid something between 6,000 and 8,000 euros a month. And I told him, dude, my heart hurts right now. So
Yeah,
it's really cool to just know these things. And, you know, maybe someday things will get better because at the end of the day, we are working. But there are other things, of course, that are being calculated to come up with a number. So, anyways, we talked about the surgery and salary. I am also always curious to know how much are you guys involved in research during residency? Do you even have to, or not at all?
So that is another like taboo topic because it depends. It depends from your
Let's
attending.
break
It
them all
depends.
taboos today.
So it's like you don't have to, but you should, but you cannot do research by yourself. So your attendings, your supervisors should be into research, clinical research. We are talking about clinical research. So I was lucky too to be in that school because there was so much research. I used to, my main expertise when I was in residency was pediatric ophthalmology. So the research in pediatric ophthalmology is not so, expanded as in retina, for example. But I did something, so just to get familiar to with the clinical research that helped me a lot. So yeah, if you wanted to, you had the possibility to do research, so that was great. But not everywhere you can do research. Mm. So.
And it's not a requirement to graduate
it's
from
not
residency.
A requirement. It's not a requirement.
Mm.
It depends on your attendings and your, like, you know, goals.
I see. Do you guys have the subspecialty? I mean, you said that attendants do not do their subspecialties only, but also everything else. But do you guys have fellowships in Italy? Like places where you can go just to learn a subspecialty? No, nothing.
So in the school I went to, we had subspecialties. But like most of hospitals, like attendings do everything. So when you are like... sometimes when you apply for a job, like in a certain hospital, you are required to do kind of everything. Like, you know, you have to know how to manage like everything. So, but now things are changing because the subspecialties are like taking place. Mm-hmm. So at that point, I don't know if ever they will develop fellowships program or not. But, you know, we don't have a requirement at the moment.
Would you say a lot of Italian doctors go abroad to subspecialize or do fellowships?
Yeah. Well, I have to say that most of my friends did. Like, they go to UK, they go to France and US. I would say those are like the three main places they go to get, like, you know, specialize in something. France and UK, maybe more because, you know, UK has a different system, but it's not very hard to get into. You don't have to repeat like residency, but France, it's the same system, so you basically don't have to repeat anything. US is more challenging, but you can still do like an international fellowship that gives you a lot of expertise in a short period of time. So.
And is it a clinical fellowship when you do it as an international, or is it only a
fellowship? Yeah, it is clinical and research together.
Awesome. And this is what you're doing right now, right?
Yeah. So you dedicate most of the time in research, but you can still do clinical like 20% of time, which like it was a perfect fit for me. And I have to say I learned so much in a very short period of time. The amount of
How long have you been there?
So far, a little bit, like, almost 2 years.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked, so I wanted to, like, expand my, like, research fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was great. I mean, it was great that I was given the opportunity to do this, and I'm so happy.
Oh, good for you. Congratulations.
Yeah.
It's always great to be exposed to research. I love it. I love just new things and experimenting and making the calculations and the statistics and the literature reviews. I just find a lot of pleasure doing it. But there's also this clinical part that is missing. And so finding something that combines both must be just perfect. I can understand why you want to extend.
Yeah. I like better the research part because we'll explain to you many many topics that and will solve many questions that you have during clinical practice. And also I did like 5 years of clinical training. So I think what I was missing was the research part. I really enjoy doing it at high level. So it was a perfect fit for me.
Awesome. Athanas is asking to tell us more about it. What else do you want to know? You guys you can actually write questions. I will just ask Julia here, who is so nice, giving us some of her time. And we'll answer your questions. I wanted to ask you, Julia, do you guys take the EBO exams in Italy? Right. Do you take the European Board of Ophthalmology exams?
Well, it's not required. Like, you can. I have many friends who did. I actually didn't because I actually didn't have time to do it. Even during residency, I spent a year abroad. So when I came back,
Where did you go?
I went to LA again.
Oh, nice.
I did like it was like a training in pediatric ophthalmology in LA. So when I came back, I just finished, I graduated from residency, and then I just, you know,
you went decided back. So Selma here is asking, how did you apply to your retina fellowship? Can you walk us through that?
So, the, like where I am, they have at UCLA, Sinai Institute, they have an international.
Do you work with Simon Fong?
I don't. I know him, though.
Yeah. He's such a great guy.
Yeah, he's so great. It's like, oh my
god. Please let him know I say hi.
Yeah, hi, Simon. I talked to him because of his experience, so I wanted to learn more about his story, and it was very open, helpful, inspiring, and empowering. I don't work with him because I'm in retina. He does more like anterior segment, like
of pediatrics, right?
Pediatrics, but he's like just a great person. He connect me to the UCLA mobile, which is like it's a mobile.
They go with the car.
Yeah, with a car going around and serving like underserved area in LA. Now they stopped doing that, like just for the pandemic situation. But that was great experience too, because I feel like fulfilled when I help people that are in need, basically.
That's really great. It must be really rewarding. So Atanas is asking, did you get any grant for the retina fellowship, and are you getting paid there?
So that is the downside. I didn't. I just wanted to do it like so bad that I did. I mean, I applied. If you go on the website, there are like international like fellowships, but I didn't get any official grants.
So you go to the UCLA website, right? And look for international fellowships in ophthalmology. I guess that would be the first step.
No, they don't. You don't need to. It's just international fellowship programs. That as I said, it's divided by subspecialties. And you are called to do like 80% of clinical research and 20% of
What would you say is the most exciting thing you're working on right now in research?
Well, I particularly like everything techy. So I like the application of retinal imaging in ophthalmology, especially in retina. So I'm very excited for that part. And I'm happy to work on this kind of project. Yeah, I really like clinical research. I would never say that. Like during residency, I never said something like
that. Yeah, because you have to experience it, right?
Yeah, so, but now it's my favorite part, if I can be sincere. And it is great.
That's awesome. So, Julia, we have, there is a limit of 1 hour on Instagram Live, and there's 1 minute remaining. So I'm just going to end this live and start it over again. You guys come join us again. For your questions, Atanas just put the website here for those of you who want to copy. Atanas, could you please join on the other live and write it again for the people who did not catch it? I'm just going to end it and then do it all over again. All right?
Okay.
See you in a minute. Thanks, Atanas.